Earth and Sky.
Economics is all about decision making, and that includes financial decisions, but it also includes everyday decisions like who we speak to, which movies we go to. All of these are fundamentally economic decisions because there are costs associated with everything and there are potential benefits.
You're listening to scientist Gregory Burns, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Burns researches neuroeconomics, which he describes in part as the study of how people's brains work when they make decisions. Burns spoke to Earth Sky's Beth Lebwohl about what his findings have to teach us about the brain, pain, and personal finance.
Neuroeconomics is really the study of the human brain, and specifically it's more like decoding how the human brain makes decisions. And the way we do that is by having people go in MRI scanners and have them do various types of decision-making tasks. And then our task as scientists is to sort out how the brain accomplished these various decisions. In this particular experiment, we were asking people to make choices about a painful shock to the foot. And their choice was whether to take a bigger shock sooner or a smaller shock later. Now, I can tell you that rationally, it's like, well, why would anyone want to take a bigger shock? And the point is that a lot of people did because the pain of waiting outweighed the pain of that voltage. And it turns out that there's two types of people pretty much in the world. There are the people who put things off as long as possible, and then there are the people who care so much about the pain that they would just rather get it over with as quickly as possible, even if it hurts more. And what we found out was that these two types of people, these two types of behaviors, have different signatures in the brain. And what happens in the people who we called the extreme dreaders is that it's like their brains kind of shut off doing everything else that they're focused on and then devote all the processing power to anticipating this painful event. And it essentially overshadows any other kind of rational thought.
Can we bring it back to economics? I assume you made some extrapolations.
You know, many types of pain, whether it's physical or emotional, utilize the same parts of the brain. And so that's how we begin to extrapolate how the brain decodes these things and what it means for things like financial decision making. So the implication is when you're in financial pain or you're anticipating financial pain, there are probably two types of people as well. And it depends a lot on how they deploy the resources in their brain to process that. And what we learned about the physical pain is that people will often make very irrational decisions under the threat of pain. If you ask an economist about this type of decision, and this is why I think there are problems with economists, is they would say, well, the most rational thing to do is if you know something is going to be bad and it's going to hurt you, put it off as long as possible. And that's just an economic way of thinking. It's called rational decision theory. That's just a rational strategy. But it turns out most people, or at least half people, don't behave that way, that somehow kind of the idea of looming pain or looming failure weighs so heavily in their minds that they would just rather get it over with, even if it's not in their best interests. And so what we found out was when we did this type of experiment in an MRI scanner, that the pattern of activity in their brains was quite different. And we learned something from the way it's different.
And can you tell me exactly which parts of the brain are involved? Are there names of these parts?
Yes, there are specific names. It's actually a network of regions in the brain that is typically called the pain matrix because it's a consistent set of regions that are active when people are either experiencing something painful or anticipating it. And you have to realize that pain is a very complicated state. It begins with the actual physical stimulation. But there are other elements to it. It also has a lot to do with attention, how much attention you devote to the part of the body that's being painfully stimulated. It has to do with emotion. And it even has to do with what we would call kind of visceral or gut feeling states. So, if you're in a lot of pain, you start feeling sick to your stomach.
Let's say I am trying to deal with financial crisis. What sort of advice would you give me coming from a neuroeconomics perspective?
Everything that we've observed both behaviorally and with neuroscience is when the fear system and the pain system are active in the brain, it makes people do things that fundamentally cause them to pull back and in the long run are often not a good idea.
Now, is that in a way advocating for the people who postpone the pain?
In many ways it is, because you have to realize that the people who expedited the pain in our experiments actually did it in a way that they were willing to take more pain now just so they didn't have to endure the state of waiting. Now, waiting, there's nothing intrinsically painful about waiting. That's something that's just concocted in people's heads, that they don't like to wait. The anticipation is often very difficult to bear. But that's something that's concocted in people's brains. It has nothing to do with kind of the external world. So when you're afraid, in many ways, it's because you're anticipating something bad. And that's a useful signal, but it's also sometimes irrational.
So, in essence, you think the best thing is to kind of be patient and not be afraid while being patient. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes perfect sense to the degree that people can do that. And I think there are actually several strategies that can facilitate that. The biggest thing that promotes fearful anticipation and anxiety is surrounding yourself with other people who are afraid and dwell on negative aspects of one's life. And that, frankly, includes media as well, whose business is to arouse emotions, good and bad. But, you know, in the end, for personal decision making, it's not really the most optimal or best way to go about one's life. We have these kind of deeply wired instincts, and while they might have been great 50,000 years ago, they're not always so great in modern culture and society. And so, you know, that gives me enough pause to kind of step back and check my impulses. And if I don't think I can, then I will bounce the idea off of someone else who will likely keep me from doing something stupid.
You've been listening to Gregory Burns, professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird, and you're listening to Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.